Hi there. I'm Austin Beach.
I'm Scott Phillips.
And I'm Steve Schneider. You're listening to the Audio Drama Production Podcast.
And this here is how all audio dramas should start.
That's right. Fast.
Real fast. With lots of action.
You've got less than a minute to grab your listeners' attention and get them hooked into your story.
So don't waste that valuable first minute.
Uh-oh.
They're coming!
Lock and load, boys!
Hey, excuse us, folks, but we got some zombies to clear out.
Get some!
Audio Drama Production Podcast on the Audio Drama Network. I am Steve Schneider.
And I'm Sarah. And today, Steve has jumped off his soapbox. No. He may be jumping back on again to discuss one of his tireless missions, ways to make audio drama great for the first time, forever and always. Now, we'll be looking at a few beginning clips from some fantastic shows, which you all need to listen to if you haven't, and looking at why they work, in our opinion anyway. So, Steve, welcome. Yes. Hello.
Hi, thank you for having me, Sarah. It's great to be back on the show.
Yes.
It's been a while.
It's very cool. Very cool to speak to you in person. And you're a long-time AD listener, aren't you? You've been listening for quite a while. And you're always finding good new shows. You change your Facebook profile pic to the one you're enjoying at the moment. So that's kind of nice and encouraging, I think, for makers out there. So what's on there right now and why?
What do I have on there? I have Earbud Theaters. What was the name of that? They did. It's been up there for a while. That's a group that has some promising stuff that they're putting out.
Yes, anthology. So, great, cool. And so, how do you find new podcasts? What's the way you kind of get your new stuff?
Oh, that was a topic of discussion recently. But right now, there's not a great, reliable way. A lot of it is word of mouth and just going on people's established reputations.
Yep.
But it's really kind of herky-jerky, I think, for everybody. There's not one single best way to find the best audio drama out there, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I've heard recommendations from friends. I stumble across things on Reddit sometimes. I'll go trolling around just looking for names. The audio drama bingo boards are helpful.
Superb,
I've discovered several new shows that mm-hmm. I didn't previously hear of that way. There's a lot of different ways, but the biggest thing is finding shows that actually are good and that work for you.
Yeah.
And that's surprisingly difficult sometimes.
It's interesting, isn't it? It is kind of, I feel like there's suddenly an influx of very cool stuff and it bunches up and you can't keep up, and then suddenly those finish, and then there's, it doesn't feel like there's nothing, but there's nothing.
Dry spell, right?
Yeah, there's nothing that really kind of grabs you to be, you know, as exciting or exhilarating as some of the others. And yeah, I guess for me, it's through some of the artwork. You kind of think, oh, that looks quite fun. I'll have a little delves from reviews, from the hashtag audio drama Sunday. I've kind of found a few things to click on and have a little browse, and obviously as well, knowing now quite a few more people in from ADPP, I'm very keen to kind of, you know, check their stuff out, especially if they're friendly and they're being lovely on the forums. So hooray to all of the people who are contributing to us in that way. So today we're looking at seven different shows, aren't we? And
a quick word in general of why I wanted to focus on the beginning is because I think that in a lot of ways that's the most important part of the audio drama, is the first minute or two, because that's, I don't know if people are like me, but if the audio drama really isn't hooking you in and really isn't capturing your interest in the first couple minutes, then You go from having no opinion of it to having a negative opinion of it. And I hate that feeling. I mean, I actually don't want to listen to bad audio drama. I wish every audio drama that I listened to was fabulous.
Of course.
Yeah. But that's why I thought to pull out just some examples of audio drama that I think works really well right from the beginning, that it does a good job of grabbing your interest and drawing you into the story. To really get you on the side of the audio drama.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that you're rooting for it, mm-hmm. and that you're listening further on, and you really become a quick fan.
No, good. And we'll have a look at how these different podcasts utilize all the facets of audio drama. So the first clip is from The Orphans. That's right, isn't
yes.
it? And so let's just crack on and have a listen.
Sure. I just wanted to also point out that these are seven audio drama beginnings that I think work. They're not the only seven that have worked. They're not. Yeah, I'm not even saying that they're the best seven audio drama openings ever. They're just seven that I think they do a good job of capturing the listener's interest and leading them into the story, which is I think what a good beginning should do.
Yes, superb. So here is clip one, The Orphans.
The first memory I have is of water. It was soft, peaceful. I felt no fear, no pain, no suffering. I still go back to that memory when I feel afraid. What came next, none of us could quite grasp.
Evacuation successful. Continue pods 2 through 19. Evacuation successful. Beginning mobile mainframe transfer. And welcome all. Look, I'm going to level with you. I don't have the time or, quite frankly, the desire to speak to you for any longer than I already have. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
Orphans. Episode 1. The Crash.
Yes, superb beginning there. What are your thoughts on why that is effective, Steve?
It gets on with the story fairly quickly. We start in the, what do they call those pods where they're... kind of in suspended animation or mm-hmm. something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are, yeah. Suspended animation pods. <points.
laughs> Suspended animation, go figure. So we start from that and we quickly transition immediately into a problem, okay? The character just wakes up inside a ship that's about to crash.
Half drowning,
I mean,
yeah.
Half drowning. So that gets things moving very quickly, even within the first minute. I think it's around the 1 minute mark already. We have the alarms going off. We're getting notice that the ship's about to crash.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly that's immediately poses a problem that needs to be solved. We don't know who this person is. We don't know where they're going. We don't know any of that yet, but you do know immediately, here's a person that's in trouble right from the beginning. And I think that in itself is compelling.
Yep.
Who is this person? How did they get there? What were they doing in the spaceship? Why are they about to crash? What's happening here?
Yes.
So I think that that's why it's effective, is it just raises a lot of questions in the mind of the listener right from the beginning.
Mm.
What did you think?
No, I agree. And I think the soundscaping behind it and the kind of music starting off as a sort of single voice, if you like, and then becomes more exciting and buoyant. And I think that does add to the kind of drama of what that person is saying and how they're saying it. So yes, and then it does go quite quickly into the peril of the situation of being on this new place that's foreign, and the relationships then can develop from there. So yes, it's a great basis for exploring that drama and what's going to happen next, definitely. Do you think it's missing anything for you?
Missing anything? I wouldn't say so.
No, you're quite happy. You wouldn't do
really,
anything else.
Very strong.
If you had to take that as a producer and do anything to improve it anymore, you're saying it's perfect.
I think it's perfect for what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. There you go. A stars all around for Orphans Podcast. Good work,
yeah.
Zach. Great. Well, let's move on to our second piece now. Do you want to introduce that?
Yes, this one is the opening minutes to The Phenomenon, a relatively new audio drama that's out there.
Yes.
We interrupt this programming at the request of the White House. This is the emergency alert system. All normal programming has been discontinued during this national emergency. Please remain in your homes. If you are not at home, find shelter immediately. Close all blinds and shades. Block out all windows. Do not look outside. Do not look at the sky. Do not make noise. Your cooperation is vital to your survival. Appointed government personnel will update you shortly.
Where is it? An Amber Alert?
Can you get yours?
What could possibly be happening at this time?
Are you reading this? Don't look outside. Don't look at the sky.
Don't make noise. What is this talking about?
No idea.
Why the sky? What's happening?
This is a joke, right?
You think someone hacked the emergency broadcast system?
It makes more sense than don't look at the sky.
Where are you going?
I'm looking.
Are you crazy? It says to keep the blinds shut.
Laura, what do you think is going to happen?
Don't, please. Just listen to the message.
Laura, just please.
What's out there?
Nothing. The street is empty. It's quiet.
Pretty normal for the middle of the night.
Yeah.
What about the sky? Eric?
Eric? Oh my God! Eric! Eric! Oh, babe, wake up!
Fantastic. I think everything about that is gripping and exciting, isn't it? All these things telling this person or listening, that whoever it is, that they cannot do pretty much a lot of things. And it's a very urgent message as well, isn't it? It's sort of very clear and very, what's the word I'm looking for? It basically is saying there's a problem.
Concise?
Yes, that's the one. I suffer with not being concise, Steve. I don't know if you noticed. it's very exciting beginning. And I think, again, it is just, you know, that way it's been recorded, you understand it's a message, you understand it's an alert, and then it goes straight into, yes, whatever the situation happens next in each of the episodes. How about you? How is it grabbed you? Why has it grabbed you as being a good
example? I think that this one does a good job of just taking normal expectations and twisting them slightly. We start out with pretty much a standard kind of Amber Alert broadcast. But then they have these statements towards the end, like, do not look at this, like, do not look at this guy. Do not go outside. Do not make noise. Mm. Then that's like, what? And then yes. We transition into a couple and at night and they're in bed and then they hear this alert and they're talking about it. And of course, somebody says, don't do something. Yes. The first thing that you're tempted to do is do it.
Yeah.
Why not look at the sky?
Yeah.
And sure enough, the husband or the boyfriend, whoever he is, gets out, looks outside the window and
spoilers.
Drops dead. Whoa.
Yeah, if you didn't know that happened in the first minute, then there you go. Steve has just created it beautifully for you. But that's what I found exciting about it. It's like you kind of settle in. You go, okay, I've heard this alert. Oh, there's two people. I think they must be partners. They're in a bed, obviously, just from the sound you can hear. And then you think, okay, they're my main protagonists. I'm trying to get to know them. And then one dies in about a minute.
Yeah.
But I really like that.
He doesn't
shocker.
Even get out of the first 2 minutes of the show.
Poor sausage. There he was thinking, I've got a good voicing acting gig here. This is a great show. Cut in the first minute. poor chap. Yeah. You were brilliant, though. Whatever your name was, I'm really sorry. I don't know, and I should look it up. I totally agree. And I think it was a very, very stirring way to start something. And I think it's only about six or eight episodes so far in that for a season. I think they have completed the season.
Yeah, I got to check back in with them. I'm not sure what they're up to now or what the plans are for the rest of the story. But yeah, it's posing something unexpected.
Hmm.
And there is an example of it done very effectively.
I pose unexpectedly now and then, but that's a different story. So our third clip, do you want to introduce that for everybody?
Oh, yes. This is the opening to a very popular comedy podcast, Wooden Overcoats.
Yeah, the world cheers and excitement. I absolutely adore this. So, yes, let's have a listen to this vibrant, exciting beginning.
Now, hidden in the English Channel is an island called Piffling. On the island is a village, Piffling Vale, and the village has a square, and the square has this lovely little antique shop. But opposite the antique shop is a funeral home, which is where much of this little chronicle would be set, I'm afraid. You see, I want to tell you all about a man named Rudyard Funn. He owns the funeral parlour. He's responsible for all the funerals in Piffling Vale. And today, he experienced what was undoubtedly the worst day of his life, which, to be honest, was probably long overdue.
Wooden Overcoats by David K. Barnes. Episode 1. The Bane of Rudyard.
I love this show so, so much. It's like being in your most favourite clothes in your favourite place with your favourite drink and your favourite people.
Yeah. Right.
I absolutely adore it. And I think, obviously it has done very well. It's on its third season now. So if you haven't caught it, where have you been? Come on, wake up and go and listen to it now. Stop this podcast and go and listen to it. But why does this grab your attention? It's a female narrator at the beginning, a female character, but a slightly different feel to it, isn't there?
Well, this is a good example of, it does start with a narrator. And that's one of the things that is generally my pet peeve is too much narration in shows, particularly at the beginning, where creators want to start with a narrator and they just start dumping backstory. Mm. Like, okay, here's my character. Now let me tell you 20 years ago what happened leading up to this point. It's like we're already starting the story moving backwards instead of forwards.
Mm.
Here, what's interesting, it does start with a narrator. I think the narrator's just the tone and the, now let me tell you about this place. Mm. And it kind of sets the stage for what to expect for the story. For some reason, I picture a map in my head during that opening minute when the narrator's kind of talking about Piffling Vale and kind of descending upon the town and mentioning the antique shop and then, there's these two funeral homes and Rudyard Funn. But if you actually time out how much narration is included, it's 42 seconds, I believe.
Wow. Fantastic.
42 seconds, boom, title page, moving on with the story.
And
not 4 minutes, not 10 minutes, 42 seconds.
Yeah, so, superb. So Steve is
very,
happy
very
with the 42
judicious
second
use
yeah.
of narration.
Super.
I'm not anti-narrator. I'm just anti-too much narrator.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair
and
enough.
Here's an excellent example of just the right amount.
Cool.
Keep it short, sweet, set yeah. the stage for the show, and move on.
Moving on. Well, we're not going to move on just yet. I absolutely love your idea, though, actually. I just suddenly thought, what if we could get everybody who has that first listen to Wooden Overcoats to get what they envision animated? Wouldn't that be really exciting?
Yeah.
Somebody should do that and ask everybody for, like, moment by moment what they're visualizing. Because I was seeing your little drone going down the cobbled streets of Piffling then and spotting the funeral pan.
Right.
But you know, I absolutely love it. And it's the tone. It's the warmth of the tone. And once you've learnt as well that that's a mouse speaking, I think that is also very endearing to the whole thing. And I think, yes, they yes. set out the space and the kind of quaintness of this British spa, which is about to happen between these two fantastically drawn characters. So yes, that definitely does draw me in. And the music, I think, is beautifully feisty.
Yes.
It is like yep. almost like dueling banjos, but with the instruments they've chosen.
Yeah, it's great yeah. because you really get a sense of what is the show going to be about right in the first minute or so.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Fantastic. And so moving from that, we're going to Dead London, which is a very exciting podcast done for a competition,
yeah,
I believe.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Wireless have got so many brilliant, brilliant shows. And yes, potentially some of it is behind a paywall, but it's not that much for the amount
right.
of amazing stuff that you can find there. So I do think it's worth a browse on their website, definitely. And we'll put all the links to all of these shows on our show notes so you can have a look for yourself. But yeah, I do think it's worth investing. And so let's have a listen to Dead London by Wireless Theatre. Very exciting, thrilling, crazy sound filled. Yes.
I love this opening.
Okay, why?
Love it.
Tell me many reasons why.
One of my favorites. Where, notice, talk about starting fast. When is the problem introduced in this story? At what point are we posed with a problem?
Well,
I think it's about 2 seconds before you press play. Your podcatcher. Because as soon as this thing starts rolling, a problem is already occurring, right?
Yes.
We don't know what it is. It's just chaos. Mm. People sound like they're dying. They're in trouble. There's somebody yelling, help me. There's a woman who's running for her life. Mm. So basically, that's all you need to know.
Yep.
We go from judicious use of narration with Wooden Overcoats to this one, there's no narration at all. But it just starts really fast. I mean, we get a problem right away. Here's a woman. She's in trouble. She's going to die if she doesn't get away.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
That's all you need to know initially.
Fantastic. I mean, I guess, you know,
great
this does
use of sound design. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you carry on with your sound design. Do you want to say that again?
Oh, the sound design is just, it's tremendous. You can hear clearly that she's trying to get somewhere underground. And I believe it's a subway station or something like that that she's getting in. You hear her running down the stairs, coming to someplace in the dark. And it's just fantastic. The sense of urgency, the pacing, that was just a minute and 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the problem. And within 1 minute, you're already hooked into what's going on.
Yeah. So instead of someone
narrating.
You don't
have all the answers, but it's compelling. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
what did you think?
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I know for a fact that a lot of this was done on location shoot, which I think is very exciting. And you can kind of feel that expanse that she's in as well, and the depth of the kind of sounds coming from wherever they are. You can kind of feel them in perhaps a more real sense of reality because of how it was recorded as well, which I find very exciting. And we're actually going to talk to George Maddox, who worked on this, about location recording and this specific show in a few episodes' time. So do catch up with us on that too. But yeah, no, I absolutely love it. I mean, I love this genre of stuff. And I think I've grown up with loving, you know, the Triffids from the 70s and all the sorts of different, you know, alien invasion type things. And so yes, it is very exciting and it suits its genre and its, you know, its type of program 100%. And yes, it leads you into the story very quickly. And this actually won a competition, didn't it, set by Matthew Boudreau's and Fred Greenhalgh's troupe about 10 years ago now, I think, was it? It's a little while ago.
Was that long ago? Wow.
Maybe not that long, but it's a while ago. And yes, I mean, it's a deserved winner because it definitely shows all the tropes and things that you want for this kind of action thing are all there, aren't they? and music as well, I think, adds exciting elements to it later on in the show as well. Superb. So from Dead London, we move to something slightly different on the landscape at the minute.
Quite a bit different.
What's the frequency?
Yes.
Yeah.
One of the most unique shows I've heard.
Yeah.
It's period.
Very exciting at the minute. So what James Oliva and Alexander Danner are producing. So yes, let's hear the beginning of What's the Frequency?
My head was still pounding from the night before. To make matters worse, Lars' words still rattled around my skull like those kids' toys where you try to get the ball in the hole and I'm the ball. The crime scene was a mess. Third one in as many weeks. Hate to be the galoot stuck putting all of Humpty's pieces back together again. Poor Donald. Good man, but an all-day sucker if I've ever met one. I needed to get his statement on record and get it quick if I was going to keep this shiny new promotion. So you came by for brunch to find your brother standing over the victims?
Yes, sir.
Then what happened?
God. It was so...
Please, Don, compose yourself. There are women present.
Sorry. You're right. He was standing over their bodies. Having just done his wife and daughter. So many pieces. And then he just plunged the axe right into his skull.
Did he say anything to you? Anything at all?
Yes. He said, "What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What's the frequency? What's the frequency? What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What is the frequency? What's the
Well, there you go. I reckon it's 666 0.666.
That's something along those lines. That's my
guess. No, how exciting and crazy and fun to listen to. So, yes, what's drawn you to choose this one in the seven?
Okay, so it does. This is another good example. It doesn't necessarily. You don't necessarily need like explosions and gunshots and car chases in the first minute just to make it interesting. Even though that's my personal preference, but this is a good example of a. It seems like James and Alexander, they take a traditional 1940s era noir detective trope,
yep,
and they twist it. And there's a bizarre quality to it where there's the fantastic, what do they call that, show music from back then that you hear? It's played a lot throughout the whole show,
mm-hmm,
and that adds to the uniqueness of the show. Then we have our traditional hard-boiled detective who's hearing the story about a guy who's just murdered his wife and his daughter.
Yes.
And then says, what's the frequency? And plunges an axe into his own head, which is like, what? What?
Yes.
Why would he do that? What the heck is going on here? What would cause him to do that? And the fact that it's repeated over and over again is bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain general macabre quality to the whole show, mm-hmm, that kind of runs underneath a thin veneer of normalcy,
mm-hmm,
which,
yes,
I think was definitely intentional. But there's something very unsettling and kind of scary about the show.
Oh, for sure. I think the rich mix of voices within it and these different ways and places we're hearing these voices from, I think they create place so well in this podcast. So, you know, from someone in a car singing about bananas, beautifully played Tanya Milojevic,
right,
and to our Walter Mixed Troubles mix, Kareem Crumpley, hooray, up in another room getting basically beaten up terrifically.
Yeah.
I just think just all of the places that they create, so from there to, you know, streets and diners and rooms and houses and then to go to almost like as if these people are trapped in radio or television or some such, and
right,
you kind of can visualize that quite easily, and I think they've done really well to create that sense of place quite quickly as well in the different
shows. And here's another show that right away establishes what it is, mm-hmm, from the beginning, similar to Wooden Overcoats.
Mm-hmm.
And here it's not so much of the immediacy of a problem that's posed, like what we saw with Dead London, for example, mm, but or with the Orphans opening,
mm,
but it's more just presenting something unexpected. And that in itself compels you to figure out what's going on here.
Yes.
Why would somebody do something so unusual, so bizarre, and what's causing this? And again, it's posing questions to the listener. That's what a good beginning does. Present them with something unexpected and plant questions in their head that they want the answers to, and they're going to keep listening for those answers.
Interesting. Well, let's hear our sixth offering, which is one of my huge favorites, and very, very excited to be going with Fiona to do a voice for this in a week or two. The Amelia Project. Let's have a listen to this intriguing bunch of awesome.
Congratulations. You've reached the Amelia Project. This phone call isn't happening. If you're not serious about this, hang up. Now. You sure about this? If you hesitated, do not proceed. Still there? If you continue, there's no way back. The choice is yours. Good choice. A new life awaits. You'll hear back from us within the hour. If you do not hear back, please consider the whole thing a hoax. Leave your message after the beep.
Gosh, what an introduction. Very mysterious. Am I supposed to be scared? Is that it? Anyway, I hear you're the best, and that's what I want. Prove it. Prove you're the best. I have a job for you. No need to go into specifics, not yet. That'll wait until we meet. This is just to say I'm here. I'm serious. I can pay. Show me you're real and serious too. Deal? Call me.
Great, exciting premise. Why do you love it? Come on, Steve, tell us, what is it that's drawn you to this one specifically?
Oh, this is another great example that we're not talking zombies, we're not talking car chases, we're not talking about a guy plunging an axe into his head even. This is an answering machine. And you would think, well, what is interesting about just a message on an answering machine to start a show? But I think it's in the context of what is said, where the person leaving the message is actively encouraging you not to respond.
Yes.
Hang up now.
Yes.
Do not continue. Do not go any further.
It's that audio equivalent of don't think white bear. And you automatically think.
Right. Exactly.
Bear, so yeah. Don't do that. Oh, I want to.
Don't think of a pink umbrella, pink elephant. Don't think of a pink elephant. And there you go. So
don't think about Steve's pink elephant, everyone. But yeah, I agree. I just think that it is just so exciting. And that first episode, because you kind of obviously now further on, you know more what's coming, but you don't know who is going to be. But those first initial episodes of like, what is this about? What do people want to do that ring this? What happens? And I absolutely adore that premise. And I think and they've gone all out with marketing and absolutely wonderful people behind this, Oystein and Philip and everybody involved, I think, have created so far a very cool and exciting fresh show. I think it's really good fun. And it's
a really, really well-produced show. It's really well-written.
Yes.
I like even in that first minute, the repeating tone, that little high-pitched, it almost sounds like a high piano note, repeated over and over. That can kind of adds to some underlying tension.
Yes. And you'll notice that creeps in.
If it wasn't there, it wouldn't quite be the same. But yeah, and then it keeps going and going and leads right into the intro music.
Mm. And you notice that creeps in later in some episodes as well, in moments of tension, which I think is lovely to have that little, repeated mark and bookmark of this is something exciting that's going to happen now. So yeah, no, absolutely.
It's an unusual approach. They're almost daring you, like, not to listen to the rest of this.
Yeah, it's a very clean show, you know? It's like everything is very precise about it, and I think I like that very much. It's, as you said, like, you know, with other things we've heard, it's kind of all guns are blazing, wah! Whereas this one is like very quietly saying, don't do this. And then all crazy things happen. So yes, huge congrats to the Amelia Project for creating something fun and diverse, because it does stand out because of that too. Marvelous.
Absolutely, yeah.
And our final exciting extravaganza for today is something we were married in, weren't we, for one episode anyway.
Yes. Tremendous acting in this show. Fantastic acting.
Yeah, didn't spoil it then, I hope. But excellent fun. And so here is the amazing Edict Zero FIS.
Yes.
The Vortex Nightclub. Corner of 18th and Main Street. Center City. Wednesday, December 31st, 2414. Time, 11:54 p.m.
You should see what I see.
What's that?
You're drunk.
What you see is me, man. Ain't I beautiful?
You are a nothing with eyes.
Excuse me? What do you mean by that? At least I got eyes and I'm not high hiding them behind them cheap-ass shades.
Do you want me to remove them?
Man, do whatever you... Oh, man, what the...
The eyes are the windows of the soul. Look into mine. What do you see?
Okay, man, I get you. Okay, man, I get you. God. God, put the shades back on. Put the shades back on.
What do you see through my windows? My truth or yours?
Put the shades back on. Okay, put the shades back on. You can put the shades back on. That's messed up. That's messed up. You keep your freak ass away from me! Freak ass away from me!
Wow.
A lot going on there.
Yeah, does that excite you?
Yeah.
Is that the right way to ask you the question? Probably not. No, I just think, you know, if there was one description using the word film for your ears, or movie for your ears, I think this particular podcast encapsulates that beautifully.
Absolutely. There's a definite reason why Edict Zero FIS has been mentioned many times on this particular podcast. And this opening, I think, is an excellent example of why it works so well.
Mm.
It's rich. It's a multi-layered sound design.
Mm.
And even though we're not presented with straight-up action in this opening minute and a half or so, or 2 minutes, there is certainly plenty of action in the show, but we don't get that up front. But what we do get is something, again, unexpected, unusual, and something that immediately raises questions. There's a homeless guy. He's outside. He happens to see a person walking toward. Jack and Kay does a great job of conveying visual through the dialogue in a way that's not completely obvious. Like, oh, hey, you're coming at me. You're wearing a suit. I see. And you're wearing sunglasses.
Yes.
It's worded in such a way that it sounds natural. And it does. It conveys a visual. Okay, there's somebody wearing a suit. There's somebody carrying a briefcase, wearing dark sunglasses at night. And then the glasses are removed. One of my favorite parts about this is when the glasses are removed, all he says is, do you want me to remove them? And then we hear the whole universe kind of power down, like, and everything slows down. And even the background music from the clubs nearby, that kind of stops. And we're hearing just this tone. It's almost like it tends to... To me, it gives a sense that all of this homeless guy, we're kind of looking at the guy with the sunglasses.
Mm.
We're kind of all focused on, through his perspective, on just what he's seeing.
That close-up.
We don't know. We don't, it's kind of like the audio version of a close-up.
Mm.
And then when he says, put the shades back up, put the shades back up, we don't know specifically what's wrong, although we find out shortly after why. It is so shocking when the man pulls down his sunglasses. We do find that out in fairly short order.
Mm.
But then we don't know exactly what the deal is, but we know based on the other guy's reaction that it's something frightening, something
that
freaks him out.
Yes.
And he wants to put it back on. And then all of a sudden the world speeds back up again.
Yeah, oh, beautiful.
And it was done very effectively, I think.
And I think with the sounds of sort of the landscape, the soundscape around these characters, they're so clear. And I think very quickly you kind of draw on your sort of Blade Runner type landscapes and all of the kind of sci-fi immersive things that we've kind of grown up with kind of form that layer of visual for you, don't they, I feel? And a very dark place to be. And
it's also a good example of the interactivity with the environment. It's another one.
Oh, yes.
One of the things that I think is not done well enough by audio drama producers in general, a lot of times if a show does have background sounds, they're kind of just purely in the background, almost as if they were some kind of painted mural on the back of the stage that doesn't move, it doesn't change, it's not impacted by anything happening in the foreground and center stage.
Yes.
But here, if something, it's even the background characters and sounds, like the woman who screams when she notices... this person after he takes his sunglasses off. Mm. Things are affected by what's happening in the foreground, in the background.
Yes.
And there's several examples that you could use throughout the whole show where that happens. So it's not just this inert wall of sound behind the main characters, but everything's completely immersive where the main characters are actually impacting other things around them, and the environment tends to respond in response to what the characters are doing as well. That really adds a lot to the realism of the show.
Oh, absolutely. I think there's so many things collide to create this being such a superb example of brilliant audio drama. So it is, the writing is obviously at the core of it. And I think, you know, all the layers wrapped around that are, I think for me, it is, yes, the acting is superb. The soundscaping, as you say, doesn't just support it. It creates that hugely immersive excitement that you can just imagine. You must listen to this with headphones on, by the way, to get the best all-round thing. Unless you're in a room made of speakers, which would be very exciting. And I'd like to come to your house, please. But otherwise, I just think it needs to have that immersive thing for you to just be really able to appreciate what amazing efforts gone in. I mean, the music, you know, it changes from being sort of in the music in a bar to the music in a kind of signal, the end of a very important scene, and the kind of way it rouses and moves into the scene to really kind of signpost the emotions that either the character or the event has created. I just think there's so much thought, intricate thought, gone into every moment of this.
And it is very intentional. I mean, I spent a whole evening talking with Jack and Cade last summer about Edict Zero when I went to visit him. And he does think about all of these things. He thinks about even a storm in the background. And if there's thunder and lightning on one side of the sky, he'll have it ripple out to the other side of the sky after a slight delay. And then meanwhile, down on the ground, there'll be the reaction sounds of some of the people on the ground who happen to notice that. And they're like, whoa, it's such a small thing. Mm. But he thinks about it even to that level of detail where he's thinking not just of what's happening with the main characters and the plot and everything else. He's also, every little bit adds to it.
Yeah, Jack, you're a genius, you are. That you are.
Don't tell him that.
Oh, sorry. No, don't tell him. He won't listen. He's busy making.
It's true.
But yeah, no, I'm very, very, very enamored with this season series. The whole thing. I mean, there's so many fantastic episodes. Again, if you haven't heard this yet, jump on. It's amazing. And I think the next episode will be out in a couple of months.
But
brilliant. So that's 7 very exciting, diverse, different, fun audio drama beginnings. I just want to ask you.
Yeah, they all work slightly differently too.
Yeah. I mean,
they're not all car chases and explosions.
No.
There's many different ways that you can make an effective opening.
Yes, there certainly are. So, have you given up on a podcast at all, Steve, because you didn't like the beginning? That's what I want to know. For the first 30 seconds, you just thought, I'm not listening to that, man. That's not awesome.
Are you kidding? I've gotten so cranky in my old age. I used to give a show 3 tries.
Okay.
Where I'd listen to the whole first episode 3 times before I said, to heck with it. But that was back in 2011, when there wasn't nearly the proliferation of audio dramas that are around nowadays.
Sure.
That combined with the fact that I've just heard a lot of the same mistakes so many different times. I've been listening to audio dramas since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And you tend to hear similar types of mistakes over and over again.
Mm.
Like, don't start your show with 7 people all in a room together that all sound more or less the same. You're going to confuse the audience. So there's little things like that. Yeah. I nowadays, I don't have a specific number put on it, but if I get in a couple minutes in and all I'm hearing is backstory, or all I'm hearing is one character monologuing and telling me about things that already happened rather than allowing me to experience them directly through the sound design, I start to lose interest, and then it tends to go further south from there. So have I turned off shows that potentially have turned it around and been great in episode 4 or 5? Probably.
Okay.
But
But there's a big but. Yeah.
If the show's really that great,
he likes big butts.
Don't wait till episode 5 to get to the good stuff. Start with the good stuff.
Yes. Cool. Well, I have heard tell of people saying that as they've really progressed with their skills, that audience have jumped on their series, but not at the beginning. They've jumped, like, I don't know, 4 to 10 or one episode in, and joined it when the quality was a lot better. Have you ever done that or heard that?
Oh,
or would you do that?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's why I'd probably be more for those people who are just learning. I would advocate, well, don't start with a series. Don't start with some grand design of like, all right, the first 20 episodes of this first season. Do a 10-minute one-off, just a one-off story, 10 minutes long. And if it's terrible, then, well, it's 10 minutes.
I know. So, I've got an even better idea as well. They could write that and then cast you, and then you could be in it and tell them if it was any good. Yeah? There you go. I'm touting for work for you.
Right. There you go. But yeah, there isn't any reason why people can't just start with short pieces and until they get a requisite level of competency where they feel like they don't have to have this huge drop off after the first couple episodes as they're kind of feeling their way along and learning things along the way. And yeah, you can always remaster the first episode as well.
For sure.
So
for sure.
That's something that's, I mean, Casey Whalen did that. Even though We're Alive started out significantly stronger than a lot of other shows, he learned things along the way too.
Yep.
And went back and remastered all of the seasons, particularly the first one. He said he made a lot of changes to that he didn't like.
Yes.
But he tends to nitpick about things that other people would feel is awesome. So there's different standards out there.
I think he knows what he likes and he likes what he knows. But yeah, I feel as well that there are things like there was a diagram I saw bounded about somewhere that it takes a certain number of episodes for people to get hooked on something anyway. So I think it was even 6 episodes of Game of Thrones, 6 episodes of Mad Men, 2 episodes of Breaking Bad. So yeah, it does take a certain amount of time for any kind of style of entertainment to get you hooked in. So we do need to give these
but
folks
you
a chance.
You want to give yourself the best chance to hook listeners in by maybe don't start with all of your awesome backstory and world building.
Okay.
And that may be impressive, but start with something focused and immediate and simple.
Mm-hmm.
People could simply understand. One person in trouble. One little scenario that's unexpected, an unusual premise, an unusual context, even some unusual words that are spoken, just to give an immediate little thing that's compelling, that's easily understandable, that leads to the next thing. And eventually you feed in some backstory along the way and off we go.
So what are you kind of bored of right now? Because I'm kind of bored of newspaper reports kind of filling in some things. I'm a bit bored of single person narration. Pretty much in space. I've had quite a few more of those jumping on. I'm bored of people going to Mars. Why can't we go to the bottom of the ocean instead? Let's go other places that are fun. I don't know. What about you? What are you kind of bored of hearing that you don't want to hear anymore?
Yeah, similar. I've never been a huge fan of science fiction in general. I'm surprised there's not more fantasy that's out there.
Yes.
I would like to see more audio drama that's just set in an everyday setting. We don't necessarily have to have speculative fiction all the
time. Me too. Yes.
There's nothing particularly wrong with having a story just set in the everyday world that we live in.
I agree.
Realistic fiction, historical fiction, even a romance or love stories. They're very rare.
Oh, Steve, you want romance? That's brilliant.
I might actually like that kind of thing, but I wouldn't know because I never hear it.
You are romantic. We didn't know. Right, come on, everybody.
Yes.
Steve needs his romantic juices
deep.
Flowing.
But just in terms of some of the other things, found footage is completely played out. I could go the rest of my life without hearing another person fumbling with a tape recorder. Just the trope of having one lone survivor either in the apocalypse or stranded on a spaceship and telling you about the weeks and months leading up to this moment. I don't think that's I've heard way too much of that. Way too much single character narrator, quote unquote, audio dramas.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To me, just orienting your show that way, I know it's a lot easier to produce a show like that, of course, if you could do it all yourself.
Yes.
Acting, writing, producing, et cetera. But that's not really what drama is about, in my opinion. It's about the interplay between characters, not just a straight-up monologue. I don't know that you could have a stage play that's all monologue and have it be really compelling.
Mm. Well, I have seen a few. I've seen some really brilliant Poe done, actually. But yeah, no, yeah. It is an interesting question. I think people have been asking that. And I'm inclined to agree, you know, that you need some drama in their elements. And I think if it's a one-person monologue, is it really audio drama? I guess there are elements to it, depending what else you do with it. But I am inclined towards, yes, sort of slightly larger cast, at least 2 to 3 to 4 people involved in something. So, yes. And there are some tips here that I've got from the BBC web pages. Some tips writing plays for radio. They say, number one is grab the audience from the start. Don't take too long to get started into the main action of a play. Some of the plays we read had a great opening scene, but didn't push forward the story enough through the rest of the play. Some plays we read were more like novels and used too much narration. This is echoing what you're saying. Radio drama thrives on strong narratives. Whether you're writing a tragedy, a comedy, or a play to change the world, a great storyline will keep your audience listening. However, don't make the story too complicated with too many themes, characters, and plot lines, or the listener will get confused. And there's a few other tips on there, but I just wanted to read that first one because it is about grabbing that audience attention, because right now there are so many fighting for ears that there's going to be a massive tearing off of many ears if people, you know, don't grab hard enough. So yeah,
exactly. So don't assume that your listener is going to keep listening just because they pressed play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, they're not sold yet. You have to actually give them a reason to listen and to keep listening.
Yes,
in a way, you have to sell your show to them continuously.
Yes,
and that's just part of the game. That's how it is,
and it's all done.
We're not a fan until we're a fan.
Exactly. And it's all done using sort of the four elements, isn't there? So you've got speech, sound effects, music, and silence. And all of those four aspects combine in so many billions and trillions of different ways to make awesome drama. So, yeah, really do have a good look at your scripts again and just really think from the outset, is this compelling? Is this exciting? And it's like that whole thing I was speaking to somebody else about, you know, cutting off that first chapter of your book, start at chapter 2, because that's where things really get interesting. And it may well be that that would help with your script, that if you really are, I know it's hard, and they say murdering your darlings is really difficult, but if you did that, it might well make for better audio. So have a little think and a play with that. So, yes, I think we've covered quite a lot there. Would you give any other final 2 top tips, Steve, for people to make audio drama the best ever it could possibly be?
Go very light on narration.
Yep.
I do think that there are circumstances when you need to have narration. But in my mind, with audio drama, the order of preference for telling your story should be sound effects first, then dialogue, then narration. Use dialogue whenever sound effects are insufficient to tell the story. Mm-hmm. Use narration only when sound effects and dialogue are insufficient to tell the story. Okay. And the other piece of advice would be the ancient Greeks had it right. Start in the middle of things. Don't start with this slow march to get things up to speed over the course of the first 10 minutes when we, you know, if a character's getting kidnapped during an evening dinner, don't start in the morning with the character brushing their teeth. Okay? We're not interested in the entire course of their day. You know, I'm being a bit facetious here, but the basic point is get in as late as possible before the problem begins.
Exciting. Yes, as it's just like 2 seconds about to happen. Yes, superb. Well, huge thanks, Steve, for coming along and talking about your preferences and what you've kind of found really works. And as you've said already, it's not the be-all and end-all. There are lots and lots of other brilliant, brilliant audio dramas being made. So huge thanks, Steve, for jumping in and at least starting that fun discussion. Please finish Fallon High.
I enjoyed it.
Please finish Fallon High. We need it because it would... I think there's a big gap right for it right now, so don't miss the boat.
Yes, and the world is waiting for us, Cudmore. Let's go.
Come on, Master Robert, get to it.
Yes.
So huge thanks to Austin Beach for editing this show and Matthew Boudreau of Oral Stage Studios for organising everything for us at the Audio Drama Network. We need an ending now. So they come back for the next episode, Steve. Can you think of anything to lure them back?
Yeah, we could just say goodbye and jump through a plate glass window.
Okay, ready?
Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.